Exposure. Pulse 95 live from Exposure at the Expo Center Sharjah.
Yes, we are live with you right here from Exposure, this amazing photography festival that is bringing together photographers from all around the world under one roof, making sure that you get the most from their knowledge, from their experience, and so much more. During the past 2 hours, we've had such a great chance to meet a lot of them. And coming up next, we've got an amazing duo that I cannot wait, and I'm sure Mikhail feels the same, to dive deeper discussion with them.
Yes, so here with us is Angela and Jonathan Scott. They are among one of the world's most distinguished nature photographers. They are the only couple to have won the Wildlife Photographer of the Year competition over the past 3 decades. The couple have traveled across all 7 continents to photograph and lead workshops. They have also become one of their generation's most productive and successful teams. Their strength as a team are that Angela brings great artistry to their work and organizational skills, and at the same time, Jonathan's storytelling abilities and knowledge of animal behavior make for the perfect partnership. Welcome.
Thank you.
Angela
so
and Jonathan Scott. You. An absolute pleasure having you here. We got the chance to see your exhibition titled The Big Cat Paradise. Omnia admitted to me that, you know, she's a cat lover, but she told me that when she stepped in, she's like, I got a little bit intimidated. These are big cats.
Not the type of cats I'm in love with. But nonetheless, the work is absolutely stunning. It's just they're a little bit scary. So actually, that is my first question to you both. How did you get the courage to come this close to them and to spend your life's work taking photographs of such animals?
You know, really big cats are just big little cats, you know? They have the same characteristics as all cats around the world, and it's not intimidating at all. My favorite big cat are lions. Jonathan is a leopard, and I think it speaks to our characters as well. I find that the lions, which is basically females, you know, the males are not part really of the pride. So it's a sisterhood. And I love to watch the interaction of the mothers and the cubs, and it's so engaging. You know, you can sit there for hours and hours and just see the behavior. Whereas Jonathan, he loves the solitary, you know, kind of masculinity of a leopard.
I think also a lot of people look at the images and they're not quite sure, I think as you've intimated, where to place us in the picture. And of course the reason that we can get those kind of pictures and hopefully enter their world rather than have them focusing on us, and there's very few of the pictures where the cats are looking at the photographer, and that's because we're in vehicles and the vehicles mask the presence of the human being, because I can promise you, somebody on foot, bipedal, 2 legs, walking across the savannah, the animals will do everything possible, whether it's a lion, leopard, or elephant, to move out of the way. Because the ones that didn't are the ones whose ancestors are no longer with us, because they were either, you know, killed by us or eaten by us, or generally, humans and wild animals are much better when they just let each other be. And it's one of the most frustrating things for us. And maybe you're going to ask us, what's your most dangerous moment? You know, with these big creatures, surely it's dangerous and your life was in danger. 99% of things that happen to people, bad experiences with wildlife, are because they don't follow common sense. And common sense is give them their space, respect them. Don't try and be an animal. Don't think of them as your friends. They are what they are, and we love them just as they are.
Which is why I want to ask you about, I'm sure before you step into their world, in a sense, there's a lot of preparation that's taking place, maybe a lot of research. You got to get the right gear, got to get the right guide. Has that over time become almost like second nature to you guys?
But I think, you know, I was born and brought up in Africa, and so I'm over 70 now, so when I was young, our playground was Serengeti. I mean, there was nobody there, but that's where we went for our holidays. And I think when you really breathe Africa and it becomes part of your very world, for us, we've been watching the same lion pride for 45 years now.
Wow.
So you see the grandmothers, you know, you watch them as babies grow up, have their babies. It's very intimate. And, you know, we have the privilege, the luxury of having our own vehicles. They're set up that we can sleep in them. We have a fridge now. That was my upgrade. But, you know, one is very comfortable, you know, preparing the car and then you're off. And you can be out there for as long as you want. It's a little bit different when you go and visit the Masai Mara or Serengeti. Yes, you have to choose very carefully your guide, where you're going to stay. That is part of the research of coming out there. But I think we're very, very privileged in the way that we've been able to watch the big cats.
Indeed. I think there's two key things. One is access for getting great photographs, and the second is time. And everybody, doesn't matter whether you're starting out or whether you're a professional, you've spent years following your subject, the best way to get great stories and to be a storyteller and to be able to get great images is to embed yourself in the lives of your subject. And now you might get lucky and come to the Mara for 3 days and capture everything that you thought you'd wanted to get. But we know that the more time you invest, the richer the returns. And I mean, there are situations, there's one leopard there in our exhibition who we followed from 6 months to 17 years.
Wow.
Oh, until, and in fact, the year she disappeared, one of those pictures is the last picture Angie took of her. And then we never saw her again. But we understood something. You know, I think you begin to feel like the leopard. You begin to feel like Angie, that you're part of the pride. Because eventually the key to it is you forget you are a human being watching them, and you immerse yourself in the whole experience. That's when you start taking great pictures.
That's amazing, honestly. It's like you said, you know, you're capturing generational storylines of these wildlife species. And that's something that, you know, I hope when people step into your photo exhibition, the big cat paradise, that they can see that almost every image comes with that generational storyline as well. I look at some of the imagery and there's almost, it feels like a drama, an epic drama saga of a family, of violence, of survival, but also
all
beauty
in one.
As well.
But you know, it's funny that you say that, because for 12 years we were presenters and still photographers for the Big Cat Diary, which was one of the most long-running wildlife television series ever, ran for 12 years, and it happened because there were people like us who knew the stories of the animals, who could relay those with emotion to people with real credibility, and it was only possible because of the fact that we knew the histories of these kind of cats along with other people, and we could share them with our audience. So Big Cat Diary, I mean, in England alone, 6 million people were watching it. It became the talk of the town, and it went from a once a week series to a once a day series over a week. It became an event. And I can promise you, you'd bump into people on the street and they would be begging you to tell them, what happened to that little cheetah cub? And in fact, sometimes years later, they'd be saying to you, can we come and help you find them? They say, look, we're terribly... In fact, I thought the station master at Marylebone Station in London recognized us, say, hey, you're the big cat people, you're a long way from home. And he said, by the way, what happened to Halftail the leopard? And when I told him, I'm sorry, but she's no longer alive, I thought he was going to pack the job in and go home. He was so... That's the emotional connection that you're hoping to make with your audience.
Absolutely. And looking at your work, you know, throughout the years, especially in the year 2021, you actually founded the Sacred Nature Initiative that was based on the three pillars: inspire, educate, and conserve. And no better people are than you could potentially be able to deliver this message. How does this initiative align with the themes that you explore in the exhibition that is being portrayed today? And what global impact do you hope to achieve through it?
Okay, I tried to hand it back. In fact, it's very interesting, and we're hoping we'll get invited back without being greedy, because it's such an amazing education for us too, and to be able to share, which is this exhibition is based around really the first book, big book that we made, which was Sacred Nature, Life's Eternal Dance. And that was built around our love and the years we'd put in to one area, probably one of the last great ecosystems, 20,000 square kilometers, Mara, Serengeti, Kenya and Tanzania, transboundary park and reserve. And having paid tribute to that, Angie said to me, you know what? That's just there, but we need to, it's not just about trying to save iconic species. That's easy. Elephants and lions will breed just fine if they have somewhere to live. We need to look now at the landscape. So Sacred Nature 2, reconnecting people to our planet, is based around ecosystems, landscapes, so savannas, forests, mountains, water, deserts, and the Antarctic and Arctic regions. And that took it to a global scale because it's not only an urgent message, which is to reconnect people to nature, and the underlying philosophy of this is 50-60% of people live in urban areas. They are totally disconnected from nature. They think it's a choice, but it's not. It's a given. You have to love nature because you're loving yourself, your community, the world. And you can't, you know, you can pretend that the water comes out of the fridge or the food out of a package. Believe me, it doesn't. It comes from nature. And so trying to get that message through to people is the purpose of the Sacred Nature Initiative. And what we do, and it got sort of slightly tripped up by COVID because we were going to take our exhibitions and our inspiration worldwide on a global basis, and wherever we stopped to exhibit, to join forces with a local sacred nature. So for here, for instance, it might be the Arabian leopard, trying to actually ensure it has a future. And in fact, we actually narrated a documentary on the Arabian leopard in Oman, and the photographs were only possible through remote cameras. They never saw the leopard in the flesh. Incredible.
Wow.
45 years of this wonderful legacy that you guys have left here, and you guys can actually see it for your with your own very own eyes right here at the exhibition titled The Big Cat Paradise. There's this very clever approach you guys have gone with, is that it's not enough to capture the wildlife. You have to tell a story, get the people invested. They become characters that are bigger than themselves. And as you say, when people used to approach you, it's like, what happened? What happened to that one leopard? What, where did she disappear to? And that's the beauty that you bring about from your work. Again, check out the exhibition titled The Big Cat Paradise. Angela and Jonathan Scott, absolute pleasure having you here on the show. And we hope that we bring you back on future editions with your next big ambitious project as well.
We'll be working hard to ensure that happens. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Just to say to His Royal Highness the Sheikh and to the whole team that has made this possible, whatever it was we thought we were coming to, I tell you, we can hardly speak. And that's quite something for me, certainly, because I can promise you, this is overwhelming. Thank you so much.
It is a true honor to have you both with us on the show. To everyone tuning in, we'll be taking a very short break, but when we come back, we still have got lots to share with you right here on Pulse 95.